We're holding on Ayin Amud Beis, the sixth line of the wide lines by the two dots. We said in the Mishnah that suppose a husband had made a neder, making his wife also to have Hanah from him, which we discussed in the Mishnah, that would mean Hanah of food or other necessities. It doesn't include Tashmish. Rashi had said that it's overridden by his shibud for that, and Tosfos said, because to begin with, it's not included in the neder. Let's try that again. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah that, again, a husband made a neder that his wife is not going to be able to have Hanah from him. So we said that if it's up to 30 days, ad shloshim yom yamid parnas. We said if it's up to 30 days, then let him arrange for a parnas for a third party who is going to support her. And more than that, then already he has to divorce her and give her a ksuba. So the question is, a parnas lav shlichus ka'avid, isn't the parnas doing the shlichus of the husband? So in that case, what good does it do to have a parnas? The husband made a neder, or she made a neder, and he confirmed it, as we're going to talk about later, that she can't have hanah from him. She's having hanah from him. Who cares that it's through a shliach? How does that help? The answer is, Rav Huna says, he didn't explicitly appoint this parnas. He announced, anybody who supports my wife will not lose out by that. In other words, so he's implying by that he's going to reimburse that person, but he's not saying so in so many words, and he's not appointing that shliach in so many words. In fact, the Tosfos Yid seems to imply that as a matter of strict halacha, he wouldn't even be absolutely required to pay back that person. We just assume that a normal person is going to do that. So therefore, he didn't actually appoint him as a shliach. And that's why, by the way, we said yesterday that it would only work for a certain period of time. Eventually, we learned some of the Shoinim say that the shliach is likely to say, you know what, I was never appointed officially anyway. Yes, I'm getting reimbursed, hopefully, but still, how long, why should I bother being this guy's unofficial shliach, and he's going to give up on it. So the question is, still, how does that help? If you do like that, isn't that also considered a shlichus that he's accomplishing? Don't we learn in a Mishnah in Gittin? Now you have like this. Get, we know, has to be given with the shlichus of the husband. Even if we know, for example, that Pliny wants to divorce his wife, if we go and write a get on our own and deliver it to the wife, that's not going to help. The get is going to be puzzled because it needs to be that the husband gave explicit instructions to write the get. But the Mishnah says, Mishoy Mushlach Babur, if somebody was thrown into a pit and he can't get out of there, but Omar, and he calls out, anyone who hears my voice, please write a get for my wife. Then whoever hears it can write the get and even deliver it, even though he didn't say tnu. Many times you have, in order for it to be kosher, the husband not only has to give instructions to say write the get, he actually has to say deliver it. But here, because he's in a pit and he's likely to die over there unless somebody can get him out of there in time, then we assume that when he says write it, he means deliver it. Of course, you have the question why he needs to divorce his wife anyway if he's about to die. And of course, you have the obvious answer, as usual, that it means the situation is where otherwise she's going to have to go through chalitza or yibum because they don't have children. Anyway, the point is that we see that we see that even though he's making a generic announcement, anyone who hears, nevertheless, whoever hears and follows through is considered as shliach. So by the same token, wouldn't anybody who hears kol hazon ein mafsid and follows through with it, wouldn't he be considered the husband's shliach? The Gemara says, Hochi hashta, how are you thinking to compare the two cases? Hosen kama yichtov, they are said, whoever hears me, yichtov, please write again. Hocha mikama yozun, here he doesn't say, whoever hears me, can you please support my wife? Kol hazon kama, all he says is, even more generically than that, anyone who hears, anyone who supports her will not lose out. So therefore, that such a weak kind of thing cannot be considered a shlichus. The question is, But don't we find that Rav Ami said bidleika when a fire breaks out on Shabbos? Now, of course, you can't put out the fire unless there's sakanas nefashis involved. If the situation is that you can get everybody out of the area, then you're obligated to do that, even if it means that the whole house, even if it means the entire neighborhood is going to be burning down. You still can't do anything. But hitiru loymar, the Chachamim said that it's mutter to say, to announce, kol ha-machabe eide mafsid. Anyone who puts it out will not lose out. The point is, you're not allowed to explicitly tell a goy. As usual, we have the rule on Shabbos, you can't explicitly tell a goy to do a malacha for you, but you can announce whoever puts out this fire will not lose out, meaning that you're implying that anybody who puts it, who puts this fire out on Motzei Shabbos, you'll reward them appropriately. By the way, there was a machlokes Rishonim, whether, and it's brought in, it's both opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch. Does that apply specifically to a fire, or does it apply to other kinds of, does it apply to other kinds of sudden disasters as well? The idea being, in other words, on the one hand, you can't tell a goy to do malacha for you on Shabbos. On the other hand, the Chachamim realize they have to allow some kind of allowance over here, otherwise you're likely to be in such a panic that you'll just end up putting out the fire yourself on Shabbos and forget or ignore the fact that it's Shabbos. So the Chachamim have to give you some kind of loophole. So one way of looking at it is it only applies to a fire where it can continue spreading endlessly if you don't do something about it, but it wouldn't necessarily apply to other things such as a flood or whatever. And the other way of looking at it is, so that's the Rashba says that. The Bahag, one of the Goinim, says, on the other hand, it applies to other kinds of disasters as well. Both opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Alter Rebbe summarizes, in principle, the halacha is like the Rashba, but when you have a hefsid meruba, when there's a big potential loss involved, if a person follows the shitta of the Bahag and makes the same announcement when it comes to other kinds of disasters, then fine, it's not so bad. There's definitely what to rely on for it. Anyway, the point is that Rav Ami is saying the Dvileika, so l'ma'uti mai, on the face of it, what is he coming to exclude with that? Why does he have to say Bidleika? Why does he just say Tiro Loima Kala Machaba Ain Mafsid? Lav Lamauti Kihai Gabna. Doesn't Rav Ami mean to exclude our kind of case in our Mishnah, where he says Kala Zona Ain Mafsid? So in other words, that would come out that in our Mishnah you can't do that. So we're back to the question, how is he appointing this fairness? And the answer is Loi. Lamauti Shari Sodom de Shabbos. No, not necessarily. Rav Ami may mean by the word Bidleika, he means as opposed to other Isurim of Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, after all, is Chomer. Usually when you have some other kind of malacha to be done, and let's say, for example, there's no hefsed merubah involved, you're not allowed to announce whoever does this malacha won't lose out. And you figure that then a goy will overhear and do the malacha, and then you'll pay him after Shabbos. So that you're not allowed to do. Only by a dleika, and again, according to the Bahag, also when it comes to other things similar to a dleika, that's what he means to exclude by the word bidleika. Not necessarily, but within Hilchos Shabbos we're talking about. Where, for one thing, the whole Shabbos, of course, is more stringent. And also, Rishonim bring up the point that by Shabbos, specifically, you have the words, we say it in Shabbos morning Kiddush, Mimitzosh Cheftzacha V'daber Dover, and from those words, V'daber Dover, is where we learn that you're not allowed to speak on Shabbos things of business or things of malacha or whatever that you would on weekdays, and that's really the basis for the whole concept of Amiru L'Achim, which doesn't apply by other mitzvahs. So therefore, so not necessarily is Rav Ami implying that it's not like that, it's not necessarily that Rav Ami is implying that in our case, where he needs a parnas for his wife for the first 30 days, that he shouldn't be able to say, kol hazon eino mafsid. Okay. The Gemara says, Mosif Rabba. But Rabba says, I have a different contradiction. A Mishnah says in the Dorim, Hamudu hanom echaber. Suppose that a person is under a neder from somebody else to not have Hana. Now, you can have two possibilities. You have Reuven and Shimon over here. Shimon is also to have Hana from Reuven. So one way could be, of course, that Reuven himself made the neder. I don't want you, Shimon, having any Hana from anything of mine. And now, afterwards, Reuven is regretting it, but he hasn't had a chance to go and be Matu Neder yet. The other possibility is that the neder was initiated by Shimon, and Shimon is the one who's saying that I'm making a neder that I will not have any hanah from Reuven. Now what happens? Suppose that Shimon doesn't have what to eat, so Reuven wants to be able to help him. So again, whether it's that Reuven originally made the neder and feels bad about it, or whether it's that Shimon made the neder and Reuven still wants to help Shimon in whatever way he can, so Shimon doesn't have what to eat, what can Reuven do? Reuven can go to a storekeeper with whom he's familiar. So this storekeeper, he knows that the storekeeper know they can trust each other. You know that you can ask the storekeeper for a favor, and the storekeeper knows that you're going to pay him back. The Yomalo, you tell him, Ish Pliny Mudr Hanami Meni, Pliny Shimon is Mudr Hanam from me, I don't know what I should do for him. And the Chenveni, being a good friend, will get the hint. Who knows him, Loi? The Chenveni will therefore go and give Shimon food. And then the Chenveni will go and get reimbursed by Reuven. Implying, Hochi Hu Deshori. So Rabba says, you see evidently, that only something like that could he do. So to say, so he's not even mentioning the matter of Mizonis. He's just saying, the guy is Mudr Hanah, I don't know what I should do. And we expect the Chenveni to pick up a hint. But Abba Kolazon ain't a mafsid loy. But implying that to say Kolazon ain't a mafsid apparently doesn't work. So why not? If it works in the case of our Mishnah, why shouldn't, as Rav Huna is saying, why should it work over there? And the answer is loy mibay farmer. And the answer is loy. No, that's not. There is a big difference. In fact, that's not what the Mishnah, not there's a big difference. That's not what the Mishnah is implying over there, that the only way to do it is to tell the Chenveni en yedei ma'aseh. As a matter of fact, loy mi boya kamar. The Mishnah over there is saying a needless to say thing. Loy mi boya kolazon en maksid. On the contrary, it's saying, if he announces kolazon en maksid, and one of the people who overhears that announcement is the Chenveni, then for sure it's good. De la alma kamar, because after all, he's not speaking specific, then it's really not like shlichus at all, because he's not even designating any one particular person to carry it out. So now, if Reuven announces about Shimon, kolazon en mafsi, or in our Mishnah, where Reuven and Shimon are instead husband and wife, and he's announcing kolazon en mafsi, then for sure it's good, because he's not designating any particular person to do it. Abohai, but in the case of a Chenveni with whom you're good friends, kiven de rogel etzloi, since after all you are a regular customer of his and a regular friend of his, the ka'ozel, and you go the ka'ozel ka'omalei, and you're going and telling him Eidi Yedei Ma'esa, you would think commander omalei zil havle atgami, you would think that amounts to telling him you yourself go and give him kamash malon, and that is why that Mishnah in Nedarim tells us that it's not so. And then, in fact, you're allowed to do that. So it's not that the Mishnah there is implying that you can't say kolazon en mafsid. On the contrary, saying kolazon en mafsid would be better, and the Mishnah is saying you're certainly allowed to do that, but you should know you're even allowed to do it. You're even allowed to say en yedei ma'esa to the storekeeper one-on-one and expect him to pick up on the hint, because the fact is you haven't told him to go and do it, even though you're giving him a much stronger hint. Okay. The Gemara says Gufa. So let's get back to that discussion. Let's discuss that a little bit further. It's an interesting point, by the way. Mesardis Hashas brings up an interesting point. Usually when the Gemara brings Gufa, it's usually in connection with, we said something from a Braisa, or we said something from Amiroyim, which we want to discuss further. Here we said we're quoting a Mishnah in Nedarim. Now, there's a Rashi in Sukkah that mentions that once in a while we'll find the Gemara doing that with a Mishnah from Seder Zeroyim or Seder Taras. Rashi says that's different because since those have no Gemara, so the Gemara needs to take the opportunity to discuss that right there on the spot, because otherwise there's not going to be another opportunity too. But here, we're a Mishnah in Nedarim. Nedarim has Gemara. We're going to learn it the next Gemara after this one, Ves Hashem. So why does the Gemara have to do Gufa on it? So Mesardis Hashatz wonders about that. He says, Tzorich Yishu. You have to figure out why the Gemara is doing that. Why is it? And just say, okay, we quoted a Mishnah in Dorim. Fine, when we learn the Sefer in Dorim, we'll discuss it. Anyway, so the Mishnah, as the Gemara says, Gufa, Hamudu Hanom Mechavei. We said that if Reuven is under a neder of Hanah from, if Shimon is under a neder of Hanah from Reuven, the Einlai Mayuchel, and we said, if Shimon doesn't have what to eat, then Reuven said can go to a Chenveni with whom he's a regular customer and who will know what to do. But Omerloy, and he says, Ish pointing mudra hanami meni. Shimon is under a nether of hanah for me. But any adam I esalai, I don't know what I'm going to do for him. And the storekeeper gets the hint. Who knows him like? So the storekeeper gives Shimon food, or Rav, no trouble is there, and then he goes and gets reimbursed by Ruben. Similarly, the Mishnah there continues, Beso Livnos, suppose that Shimon has a house that needs to be built, Ugdere Livner, he has a fence or a wall that needs to be put up or that needs to be rebuilt, the Sadeo Lipser, or he has a field that needs to be harvested, same problem, because he's under a nether of Hanah from Reuven, he can't hire Reuven to do these jobs, because that would be having Hanah from him. So the same thing, the same way, Reuven, if he wants to help out, can go to workers who he regularly works with, or who are regular customers of his, or whatever, or he's a regular customer of theirs, rather. But Omelahani says the same thing. Ish pliny mudra hanami meni. Pliny is under a nether of hanar from me. Ve'eni adema esaloi. I don't know what I should do for him. And again, they get the hint. Kain osin imoi. They can do the work for Shimon. Obayim v'notan s'chonim izeh. And then they can get reimbursed by Reuven. Same idea. It's a workaround. Mefarshim explain the reason why the Mishnah is mentioning it is because it's saying not only in the first case where you could say it's a matter of mezonos, it might be a matter of Pruach Nefesh, the poor guy has nothing to eat, but even in a case like this where it's not the Pruach Nefesh, he just has a contracting job that needs to be done. Nevertheless, still Reuven can use this workaround. And the Mishnah continues, Hoyu Mahalchin Baderech. What if Reuven and Shimon are walking on the road, and Shimon is out of food, so now you don't have the ability to go to a chenveni because there's nobody else with them. So instead, one possibility is if there is somebody else there on the road with them, then Reuven can give that other person, can give Levi the food as a present, and then in turn, Levi can give it to Shimon, because after all, there's no neder of Hanah from Levi to Shimon. And then Shimon can take the food from Mutter, and all of this is Mutter. If there's nobody else available, then what Reuven can do, he can put the food on a rock or on a fence, and announce, they are hefker for anybody who wants them, the food. And again, Shimon will be able to take the food, because now he's not taking it from Reuven, he's taking it from hefker, and all of that will be mutter. But the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi says that this is osir. The Gemara discusses over there, I think, whether it means does Rabbi Yossi ask in all of the cases that we're talking about, or only in this last case of putting it on a rock or a fence. Anyway, Omar Rav, my time is Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi say that this should be osir? Gzeira mishum maisa debes chorim. The reason is Rabbi Yossi is concerned of a gzeira that it might be similar to the case that happened in Beis Chorim, which is the case that's described in the Mishnah and Nedarim. The case was as follows. There was a son whose father was mudr hanav from him. Again, whether it's that the son made the neder and now he's regretting it, and he wants to be matur neder but he can't find a rav, or is it that the father made the neder? Whatever the case, the son is making a wedding. He wants to invite his father. The problem is he can't because his father is mudr hanav from him. So what does he do? He goes to a friend of his. He says, "I want to give you all of the food from the wedding as a present." And then I want you to invite my father to the wedding. So the friend says, you know what? If you're giving me all that food, I have a better idea. I'm going to declare all that food hektish. I want to give a donation to hektish. I'm going to donate all that food. So the son who gave it to him says, that's not why I gave it to you for. The upshot is that the thing is considered such a transparent haroma. At least the case. So all the cases that we were talking about just now involve harama. You're using a legal trickery. You're using a legal loophole to get around this neder. You're telling the chenveni, I don't know what I'm going to do. You're telling the workers, I don't know what I'm going to do. You're putting the food on a rock or whatever. So Rabbi Yossi says this is very similar to that story of Beis Chorin, where in fact the Chachamim said over there that if the other person does not have enough of a kinyan on the food to actually be able to be makdish it, then doing that doesn't help, because then it's very transparent that you're doing it in order to get around the neder, and you can't do that. It winds up that the father really is having hanah from his son when he's not supposed to. So therefore, Rav Yossi is concerned that at least the case of the rock, the last case that we just discussed, and maybe some of the previous cases as well, are too similar to that nice of the base chorin. What if you were to say this food is hefter only to you? Obviously, that would be also because then he's directly giving hanah to the other person. So therefore, Rav Yossi doesn't allow it, even when he's saying more generically this is hefter. Okay, we're going to discuss all these matters in Masech and Nedarim, which is the next Masech after this one, Bez Hashem, so we'll get back to all of this in a few months' time. Okay, now, we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yisrael, Chodesh Echad, so now, we had like this, we said, Hamadiras Ishtai, Milahonifloi, we said the case was, the man puts his wife under a neder to have Hanah from him. So therefore, so again, he can't support her, and that's why he needs a parents. So we said, the Tanakhama says it's up to 30 days that he can arrange for a parnas. If it's anything more than 30 days, then he divorces her and gives her a ksuva. And Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's Yisrael, then for 1 month we can leave it as is. But if it's 2 months, then he has to divorce her and give her the ksuva. And by a koyin, instead it's 2 and 3 months respectively. So the question is, Hainu Tanakhama. Isn't Rabbi Yehuda saying the same thing as the Tanakhama? The Tanakhama had said a month. Is the maximum amount of time we can wait. Rabbi Yehuda is also saying a month. So the answer is, Oman Abai, Tehenes Osalash Menem. So Abai says true, but Rabbi Yehuda wants to tell us the different din by a Tehenes. That by a Tehenes, given that a Koyan, once he divorces his wife, can never remarry her, then therefore Rabbi Yehuda is allowing a longer time for a wife of a Koyan, 2 months instead of 1 month, before we say, you know what, forget about it, let him just divorce her and give her her ksuva. Here you have a machloikus rishonim. Within that, the Rashba says that it means Rabbi Yehuda is not really arguing with the Tanakhama. He's just adding the detail about Kehenes, which the Tanakhama did not mention. On the other hand, one of the other rishonim, Rabbeinu Kreshkas, who was actually a Talmud of the Rashba and the Ra'a, anyway, he learns differently. He says Rabbi Yehuda would in fact be arguing with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama would say 1 month across the board, according to Abaya. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying that no, with Kehenes it's different. Anyway, that's one answer. Rava Amar Chodesh Malei V'Chodesh Chosu Ikke Benayi. Rava says a different answer. The machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda would be how much, even for Yisrael, is it Chodesh Malei? Is it a full 30 days that we allow it to go on? And only if the 31st day it's still going on, then she has grounds for divorce. Or is it Rabbi Yehuda saying Chodesh, which can imply a Chodesh Chosu, which can imply 29 days, and once the 30th day comes, then this is an intolerable situation, and Yotzi B'Yitzhak. So there would, in fact, be a Nachmina between them, says Rava. Okay, so the Gemara continues, Omer Rav, Loishonu Elabim of Farish. When we're talking about an On Mishnah, that we have a month, or 29 days, or 2 months, or whatever it is only, Rav says, Elabim of Farish. Only if he explicitly, when he first made the neder, he said he set an ending time for it. He says, for the next 30 days, you're also to have hanah from me. Or for the next however much. So then we see, is it more than a month or less than a month? Abba b'stam, but Rav says, if you made it open-ended, right away, yotzi la'alter v'yitim ksuba. Let him divorce her right away and give the ksuba. It's true, of course, that you could conceivably have that he could be matur neder, but we're going to assume that he's not going to. He made an open-ended neder, so therefore we can assume right away. And then besides, what she has every right to say, you know, when he obviously doesn't like me, otherwise he wouldn't have made such an open-ended neder in the first place. Where conceivably I could be also to never have hanah from him, and therefore Rav says at that point he just divorces her right away. Or Shmuel Amar, Philip is Stam Lo Yotzi. Shmuel says that no, even if it was Stam, he doesn't yet have to divorce her, or she doesn't have grounds for divorce. Shema Yimtza Pesach L'Nidrei. Because after all, he might find a Pesach for his neder. He might find grounds to go to a Beis Din and have the neder revoked, and have it be Matir Neder, and therefore, even if it was open-ended, let's still give 30 days and see if he ends up doing that. Okay, so the Gemara asks, why do we need Rav and Shmuel to be saying this machloikas? Didn't we already have the same machloikas between them about an earlier Mishnah? In an earlier parak, in the fifth parak of our Masechta, we learned on Samach and Daf Samach Aleph, Ditnan, we learned Hamadras Ishtim Tash Mishamita. If a man makes a neder that makes his wife also from Tash Mishamita. Now again, we said there that it can't directly mean that he says I am making a neder, you're not allowed to have tashmish with me. He doesn't have the ability to do that. He's meshubah to her. Rather, we're going to talk about in the Gemara further on Amud Beis, that it means that he's saying the hannah of tashmish with me is also to you. So then, therefore, so such a neder can be chal, because then to break that neder would be in effect to give her something which is also to her. We're also going to talk about further on in the Gemara anyway that you can also have where she made the neder and he confirmed it. Either way, the point is that a direct neder, you are also in tashmish with me, wouldn't work, but an indirect neder, the hannah of your tashmish is, the hannah of tashmish with me is also to you, is something that could be effective. So the Mishnah says over there, so if he does that, how long can we let that slide before we say that he has to divorce his wife? Beshama says the maximum amount of time we allow this to go on is 2 weeks. Or Besilah and Shabbos Achas. Besilah said 1 week. We discussed in the Gemara over there where they each learn it from. Beshama says since when a girl is born, she's off limits for her husband for 2 weeks anyway, then 2 weeks is the maximum we can tolerate it. Whereas Besilah, we says that a nidah is off limits to her husband for a week. So therefore, let's go based on that. Anyway, so we have that machlokas. And this we have the same machlokas, Rab and Shmuel, within Beis Hillel's opinion. That Rab says the machlokas is only when he specifies how long this neder is going to begin with. Aval b'stam, but if he said an open-ended neder, hanah of tashmish is also to you, yotzi la'alter v'yit mitzvah, then he divorces her right away, because then we assume that there's nothing that can be done about it. Or Shmuelam, and we say that she has every right to say he obviously hates me that he did such a thing. Or Shmuelam, afilu b'stam nami b'yotzi, and Shmuel says, as he's saying over here, that even if it was stam, he doesn't divorce her right away, we still wait the 1 week or the 2 weeks. Shemi yimsa pesach l'nidrei, because he might find a pesach for his neder. So we have exactly the same machloikas there. Why do we need it again over here? And the answer is tzricha. The answer is we need both machloikas in, which we pointed out in the Gemara there on Samach Aleph as well. De'i itma bahi, because if we only had the machloikas in that case, in the case of Amadurus Ishtim Atashmash Amita, you would say, Bahi Ka'amar Rav, you know why Rav says that if it was an open-ended neder, that he has to divorce her right away, Mishim Deloy Efshiba Pounus, because there's no workaround. You can't use a Pounus, like you're saying in our Mishnah, to provide her food. Once he says Tashmish is off limits, then nothing's going to happen. So therefore, so if he made it open-ended, then we have every right to say that that's it, you know, obviously this marriage is broken, and let him divorce her. But in the case of our Mishnah, the Esther of a Pyrenus, after all, you can manage with a Pyrenus, you can arrange this kola zon ena maxid that we said before, and somebody will take over. So ema modele the Shmuel. So maybe you would think Rav agrees with Shmuel, that we should let it go for the 1 month or 2 months according to the Yehuda or whatever and see what happens. The e itma baha. So therefore, we need Rav's opinion. So therefore, we need Rav to tell us that even in the case of our Mishnah, he still holds yotzi la'alter. The e itma baha. And conversely, if we only had the machlokas in our Mishnah, you would say baha kama Shmuel mishum de efshu b'parnas. Conversely, Shmuel might say that in our Mishnah there's a workaround with a parnas. Aval ba'adi, when it comes to the Mishnah earlier about tashmish amita, where there's no parnas possible, ema modele l'rab. Maybe he would agree with Rab that if it was an open-ended neder, then he has to divorce her right away. Tzricha, and therefore we needed both. Tosfos actually has another girsa, that another reason why Shmuel might say that it applies more, over there, is because when he makes tashmish off limits, it means both of them are suffering tzar from it. So therefore, Shmuel might say there's more of a reason to think that he might find a pesach for his neder rather than the case of our Mishnah where only she's suffering from it. He's having to arrange a parnas, fine, but on the other hand, the fact is that he's not suffering any physical tsar from it. So that whereas with tashmish, the lack of it is affecting both of them. So Tosfos brings that girsa. He says Rashi isn't good at it, which is why we don't have it in the Gemara. Also, there's no manuscript of Gemara that has it earlier in the Sugya and Samach Aleph on the days. But over here, Tosfos says, okay, sometimes it happens. The Gemara will do that, even though we already have a perfectly good reason why Shmuel needs to say his din in our case, namely because here a poundness is possible and there it's not. Nevertheless, the Gemara will still look for another possible reason why Shmuel has to reiterate his opinion over here.
Now, according to the man, the Yomer, let's say the Gzeira that later on,
yeah,
that you, that has the get also has to be with the scum of the wife. How would that work?
So it's true. Once you have Cherem Devin Gershem, not the wife, that you can only divorce with the consent of the wife, well, then in our cases over here, same thing. Again, when we said Yotzi Vietin Ksuba, we discussed yesterday what Tosfos said. Doesn't mean we force the husband to give a get, meaning in other words, the wife already wants a get, and it's just a matter of forcing the husband, or is it that we convince him to give her a get? But yeah, before Chayim Deh Ben Gershom, we would say it doesn't matter what she wants. After Chayim Deh Ben Gershom, we would say it matters what she wants or not. But the Dinyan would basically still say the same. Yeah. So the Gemara says, now let's consider that. Let's consider further this machlokas Rav and Shmuel and see whether it fits with the continuation of the Mishnah. Tnan. So we say further in the Mishnah, Hamadus Ishtosh leititim echem mikol aperis. He puts his wife under a neder that she's not going to eat any of a certain kind of fruit. And Tosfos stresses over here that we don't mean that he made a neder she can't eat any kind of peris. That such a neder would not even be chal because you can't fulfill it b'chal. The same way a person makes a neder, let's say, that I'm never going to sleep, then that neder is not chal because the person eventually has to sleep. Peiris, you have to realize peiris in Gemara terminology doesn't just mean fruit, like where, you know, like apples and grapes and bananas and whatever. It also includes, for example, wheat and barley, where they're called peiris as well. And you can't say, yeah. So we're talking about one particular kind of fruit. Tosfos brings, by the way, an interesting point from Tosefta. This would apply even if she never ate this fruit before. So suppose she's never in her life eaten bananas, and he makes a neder, she should not eat bananas. Nevertheless, the rules of our Mishnah still apply. Because until now, it was her choice not to eat them. In fact, the Rambam explains further, based on other brises or gemaras or whatever, that it applies even if that kind of thing is harmful to her. Let's say she's allergic to bananas, so she can't eat them anyway. But if he makes a neder, you're not allowed to eat bananas, then nevertheless, we say the rules of our Mishnah. By the way, I should add that, again, just like with Tashmish, she can't directly say you also to eat bananas. He doesn't have the ability to make such a neder. It would be, rather, Mephoshim explained, that, again, he makes it totally in Tashmish. He says something like, if you eat bananas, then you will be also in then Hana of Tashmish with me will be also to you, which he has the ability to do that, because Hana of Tashmish with him is something that he owns, so to speak. So, therefore, so such a neder can be held. Anyway, so the Mishnah says, Hamadus Ishtosh leititim echem mikol aperis, if he puts his wife under such a neder, yotzi v'yitin ksuba. So we said that he divorces her and gives her the ksuba, which implies right away, there's none of this 1 month business or anything. So, b'shleim al rab, kan b'skam, kan b'mafarish. So according to Rab, it's easy enough to understand. The first part of the Mishnah is talking, one part of the Mishnah is talking about where he said stam, where he said open-ended, and the other one is where he put a limit on it. So when we said in the Mishnah, Shloshim Yoim means the first part of the Mishnah, Amadus Ishtoi, and we said up to Shloshim Yoim is when he said the neder should be in effect for 20 days or 30 days or 40 days or whatever. The second part of the Mishnah then would be talking about where it's open-ended. And Rav holds whenever it's open-ended, Yotzi La'alter V'yitim Ksuba. Okay, so in the case of the Peiris, it was open-ended. Therefore, right away, Yotzi V'yitim Ksuba.
But if it's one pair again, it works.
So that's the thing. It would, such a neder would be effective, but we don't want to have her have to suffer under such a neder. And therefore, there's grounds to say that he should divorce her right away. So according to Rav, the reason would be because he made an open-ended neder. If he had made it for a certain amount of time, then we would say that we wait that amount of time and see what happens. So Ella the Shmuel Kasha, but according to Shmuel, it says even when it's open-ended, we still have to wait the month. So why is the Mishnah not also saying that you wait a month? Why is the Mishnah implying that he divorces her right away? So the answer is Hach Maya Skinnan. The answer is that Shmuel is going to answer, the answer is, we're not talking about where he made the neder in the first place. According to, we started the discussion that we're talking about again, that he made the neder, and Tosfos says that he made it depend on Tashmish. That he said, if you eat this fruit, then you, then Hana of Tashmish, or actually he says the other way around, Tosfos says, as far as Hana of Tashmish, Hana of Tashmish with you will be also to me. Now he can't end up to have Tashmish with her is going to give him Hana. He's saying that if she did such and such, which triggers it, then Hana of Tashmish with her is also to him. The result is that neder is chal, because you can't have him have that Hana, because then it's also to him. So he has the ability to do that. But now the Gemara is saying, according to Shmuel, we have to understand the scenario differently. She made the neder. So she said, for example, that if I eat any of this part, that if I eat any of this particular kind of fruit, then hana of tashmish with you will be also to me. And now the kiyam lo ihu, and the husband confirmed the neder. We have to remember, as we go through this Gemara, we're going to have this extensively in Nedarim, Bes Hashem, that when a wife makes a neder, for that matter, when a daughter makes a neder and her father can revoke it, there are three possibilities. He can be made for it. He can say, I don't like this neder, and the neder is bottle. He has until Shkia of that day to do that. He can say, on the contrary, Kayim Lichi. He can say, I like what you just said, and I approve of it. Or he can do nothing. And if he does nothing, then comes Shkia, then the neder is in effect. There are Rishonim, by the way, who learn that once he was Makayim the neder, then she might not even be able to be Matur neder anymore. Now, the Gemara in Nedarim does tell us, and we'll discuss this as we go through the Sugya, that the husband can have his, if he was Makayim the neder, then he can go to a rug and be matir that kiyum, and then we're back to square one. However, the Ran over here and Tosfos later on in the Sugya points out even that would only help on that same day. Because the Rav takes away the Hakama, so now we're back to square one, but still he only has until Shkia to either confirm or revoke the neder if he doesn't.
Sometimes it takes a few days to realize the court's
rest. Exactly, yes. Sometimes it might take a few days. So therefore, the point is, if she made the neder on Sunday, and he was Makayim it on that same day, so Rishonim point out, Tosfos later on in the Sugya, and the Ran over here point out, that even, so if on Sunday he goes to the Beis Din and is Matir that Hakama, then fine, then he has till the end of that day to be made for the neder. But if not, if it was already the next day, and then it's too late, because even if he's made for the Hakama, the fact is that he still didn't do anything that day, and the result is the neder is in effect. So now you do have an opinion of Rishonim that says once the husband was Makayim the neder, and he was not Matu, that Hakama, then she can't even be Matu, that neder, at all herself. Other Rishonim disagree with that, and the halacha is that she could, but nevertheless, it's still, the point is that the neder is in effect right now.
So it's too partial. You have to go be Matin Neder and take off the Hakama.
So that's the thing. If the husband was Makayim, then he would have to take off his Hakama, and only then can he revoke Neder. But if he did not take away his Hakama, then there's an opinion of Rishonim that say that that she can't be Matin the Neder at all, and there's a different opinion, and this is Lahalacha, that she could. But anyway, so suppose that she made the Neder and he confirmed it. So now the Neder is in effect. So now, in other words, so the point is, there's no sense in waiting anymore. If she wants to just take her ksuba and get divorced, then fine, she's not going to look for a pesach for her neder. So it's one thing, if he made the neder, then you could say that maybe he'll find a pesach. But she made the neder to begin with. So if she was interested in canceling that neder, she would be going and looking for a pesach to be matir neder. So therefore, he might as well divorce her right away, because obviously she doesn't care to do anything about it. That's a point of Rashi. Tosfos learns differently, and says that the case of Tosfos points out that the neder over here we're talking about is just. So it's not a matter, she didn't make it depend on Tashmish, like what she was saying before. What she was just saying, this neder should be in effect. I am asking myself in a certain kind of paris as long as I'm married. Well, then if she's not married anymore, if she's divorced, then the neder is over. So now, because Savard Ab Meir, who knows an etzva v'enchineha? So now Rab Meir is going to hold, as we're going to discuss now, that, he put a finger between her teeth, which is a metaphor that we used earlier in the Gemara, which means that, so again, we said in the Mishnah that Rav Meir, who we assume is the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, had said, Yotzi v'yitn ksuba, and Rav Yehuda had said that you have to wait for a day or 2 days, or a day, or in the case of an Eishes Koyin, 2 days, and only then Yotzi v'yitn ksuba, because again, with a Koyin, we want to give a longer amount of time. So the mayor figures, who knows an etzva v'enchineha, he put a finger between her teeth. In other words, it's his fault that she's bound by this neder now because he confirmed it. So therefore we can say it's his fault. Well, therefore, so let him give her a ksuba, because it's his fault that the situation is in effect.
But in reality, you could say the same thing about Rukh. She's the one who's done.
Well, that's the thing. So that's the thing. So Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold. He knows the etzva. Then she know. Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that she's the one who initiated it by making this neder. Right. But the point is, Rabbi Meir is saying, who knows the etzva? Then she know. And therefore, that's why Rabbi Meir is requiring him when he divorces her to pay her ksuba. As opposed to other cases where she caused the marriage to break down and then she forfeits her ksuba, Rabbi Meir says here that's not the case. Because after all, when she made the neder, but the husband had the ability to be made for it and he didn't. Instead, he was mekayim it. So the question is, the sovereign of Meir, who knows an etzva v'inshinah? Does Rabbi Meir in fact hold of such a svara of who knows an etzva v'inshinah? But Hatanya, we learn in a braisa, ha'isha shenodra b'nazir. If a woman made a neder that she's going to be a nazir, the shama baila v'loy heifala, the husband heard he was not made for it, so he didn't confirm it either, but he wasn't made for it. And again, at shkia, therefore, the neder goes into effect. Rab Meir and Rab Yehuda, I mean, he knows the etzva v'inshinah. Rab Meir and Rab Yehuda says she put the finger in her, between her teeth, and she got bitten. So in other words, it's her fault. L'fichach, im ratzah ba, l'hofer yofer. So if the husband wants to be made for the neder before shkia, then good. V'im omer, i'etshi, v'isha nedronis. If he instead says, you know what, I don't like the idea of being married to a woman who habitually makes nedarim, then he has the right to divorce her without a ksuba, because they're saying he knows the etzva v'inshinah. It's her fault that the situation is in place.
Doesn't matter how long she made the.
Doesn't matter how long. Well, nizirus by definition is at least 30 days. Yeah. But anyway, Tosfos points out, by the way, that later we're going to learn tomorrow about Hashem that if a woman makes nedarim and doesn't keep them, then that's grounds for divorce and forfeiting her ksuba. Here we're talking about she is keeping the neder, but Tosfos says there's a difference between different kinds of nedarim. We're going to discuss soon in the Gemara that there's a concept of nedarim called that nedarim sheyeshban inui nefesh, nedarim that involves some kind of denying oneself some kind of physical pleasure, which of course nezirus is. You're not drinking wine, you're not eating grapes, you're not taking a haircut. Those are things of inui, and particular, the grapes and the wine are a matter of inui nefesh. So therefore, so those kinds of things, Tosfos says, even just the fact that she makes it in the neder alone is grounds for divorce, as opposed to other kinds of nedarim. If she makes a neder, let's say that I'm going to give a certain amount of money to tzedakah, or that I'm going to sit and learn such and such, or whatever, such a thing would only be a problem only if she doesn't fulfill the neder, as the Gemara is going to explain, as we'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow.
When it says the title about Ason becomes a...
becomes a nazir.
Is it only by Isha, or is it...
It's by an Isha as well. Isha, ki yaku, no.
You're saying that it's ground for...
No, so we're saying that she can make the neder if the husband approves of it. Wonderful. Sometimes you can even have, we'll learn in Masech the Nazir, the Masech after next, we'll learn you can even have a case, for example, where the wife says, I want to be a Nazir, and the husband says, good idea, I'm going to be a Nazir as well. So you can have where the husband approves of it, but we're saying over here where he doesn't. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so Yotzi v'yit n'ksuba. So if he says if she be ishin nebronis, Yotzi v'yit n'ksuba, he divorces her and gives her a ksuba. So again, unlike the case that we're going to learn about tomorrow, where she's making the nedarim and not fulfilling them, where that's grounds for divorcing her without a ksuba, here he says if she be ishin nebronis, that's not reason enough for her to forfeit her ksuba, but it is grounds for him to divorce her. I skipped a couple of lines and that changes it entirely. Sorry. Rav Meir had said, L'fichach im rotza ba l'hofer yoker, if the husband wants to cancel the neder good, v'im omri, yef shi b'ishin nadronis. If he says, I don't like a woman who makes a wife who makes a neder, teitza shaloi b'ksuba. So Rav Meir says that is grounds for divorce without ksuba. Sorry, I said that wrongly. Because again, he says, he not the etzma mentioner, it's her fault. On the other hand, Rav Yossi v'Rav Elazar, I mean, who knows an etzma mentioner? On the other hand, Rav Yossi and Rav Elazar say it's his fault because he didn't have to be mekayim the neder. Lefichach. So therefore, im rotza ba lahofer yofer. If he wants to cancel it without not be mekayim it, good. V'imami yefshibi ishenadronis yotzi v'yitin ksuva. If he says I don't like the idea of you making the neder, then he can divorce her, but he still has to pay her ksuva. So we see that a mayor and Rav Yehuda both hold he nos na etzva v'inshinah. So how are you saying that in our Mishnah, Rav Meir is saying who nos na etzva v'inshinah, that it's his fault that the situation is, and that therefore. So again, what are we saying? We're saying according to Shmuel. Now Shmuel, remember we said, did not distinguish between whether the neder is open ended or not. He said regardless, we wait 30 days and see what happens. And we're talking about according to Shmuel. So why is it in the case of, Amadeus Ishtoi from having Hana from him, we wait for 30 days. Whereas in the case of the Paris, Rav Meir is saying you don't wait at all. So Shmuel is saying because the second case of the Mishnah is talking about where she made the neder and he was Mekayim. So since Rav Meir holds, who knows in Etzvah, then she now, then therefore, So therefore, let him pay the ksuba. So therefore, he can divorce her right away. Because again, there's obviously no chance of making up over here. Because why did she make the neder in the first place? But therefore, we don't have to wait 30 days and see whether she wants to be matir neder. She made the neder in the first. Obviously she wants out. So fine, give her ksuba and let her go. But the point is that requires Rav Meir to be saying, who knows the Etzvah Ben Shinel? But from the Braisa we just quoted, it sounds like Rav Meir says that no, in such a case, he knows the Etzvah Ben Shinel. We say it's her fault. And if he's going to divorce her, it's without a Ksuba. So isn't Rav Meir contradicting himself? So the one answer is April. Okay, flip around the opinions in the Braisa. Rav Meir for Rav Yehuda, I mean, who knows? And Rav Yosef, Rav Elazar, I mean, he knows not. That Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda would be saying it's his fault, and therefore, if he wants to divorce her, he needs to give her a ksuba. And Rav Yosi and Rav Elazar would be saying, in the case where she made the neder of Nazir, that it's her fault, and therefore she forfeits her ksuba. So then it would fit with our Mishnah. So flip around. Yeah, sometimes it happens that a braisa was transmitted inaccurately. A Mishnah, we generally don't like to do that, but a braisa, sometimes we can do that. However, the Gemara is still not satisfied with that, because the sovereign of Yosi, he nosna. So now, based on the way you're flipping it around, Rav Yosi is going to say he nosna etzva ben shinah, that in cases like this, it's her fault, and she forfeits her ksuba. Vatnan, we learned in our Mishnah, Rav Yosi, I remember, anios shloi nosan kitzva. Rav Yosi had distinguished in our Mishnah, in another case in our Mishnah, if he made a neder, whose effect is, shloi diskashet be'echem, the palaminim, that she should not beautify herself with any of a certain type of thing. So he says, for example, that a certain type of perfume, let's say, is also for her to use. Vanius, so Rabbi Yossi says in the Mishnah, Vanius, when it's a poor woman, who anyway doesn't use cosmetics as much, Shalom Nosan Kitz, but it can be open-ended. And it can be open-ended, and still we don't say necessarily that he has to. Only if Shaboy Nasan Kitzva, only if he made it open-ended. Never in her life is she going to be able to use that particular type of cosmetic again, unless we're Matir Neder, then Yotzi Vietim Ksuba. But if it's a rich woman, then he said 30 days, because rich women use perfumes and cosmetics more often. Anyway, the point is, and he's saying Yotzi Vietim Ksuba. So therefore, the mayor also holds who knows an etzva ben shinel, that it's his fault. So if you flip around the braisa, then you're saying Rav Yosi is saying it's her fault, but that contradicts the Mishnah then. Okay, so the Gemara says fine. So Ema, so let's change around the braisa. Let's move around. We have two tanoim in each opinion of the braisa. We started with Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda versus Rav Yosi and Rav Elazar. So let's interchange some of the names. Rav Meir and Rav Yosi, Oimim Hunos, and Rav Yehuda and Rav Elazar, Oimim Hinosna. So fine, Rav Meir and Rav Yosi are going to be the two who say that who knows an etzva ben shinah, it's his fault. And Rav Yosi and so that way Rav Meir fits with our Mishnah. Rav Yosi also fits with our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda and Rav Elazar, I mean, he knows now. Rav Yehuda and Rav Elazar are the ones who are going to say it's her fault and therefore she forfeits her ksuba. But that's still not good. The sovereign of Yehuda, he knows now. So now then you're going to tell me Rav Yehuda holds he knows an etzva ben shinah. V'hatnan. In our Mishnah, we also said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Yisrael Yomechad Yekayim. Rabbi Yehuda appears in our Mishnah also. And he says in the case of the Paris, that only if the neder was in effect for one day, well, by an Eishes, for up to one day, by a wife of Yisrael, then fine, we can let it slide, and at the end of that, it'll be over. But if it's any longer than that, Yotzi V'yitim Ksuba, and by a wife of Koyin, 2 days and 3 days, respectively, and again, saying that he has to pay the ksuba implies who knows that's what mentioned now, that it's his fault, that the finger got bitten, that we're in this bad situation. So we can't say Rabbi Yehuda is on the side of Rabbi Elazar and saying that he knows that's what. Ema, so let's change the braisa yet again. We'll say Rav Meir, Virab Yehuda, Virab Yosi Omim, who knows him? All three Tanoim mentioned in our Mishnah are going to say who knows him, but Rav Elazar Omim, he knows him. Rav Elazar would be the Das Yachid who say that it's her fault, he knows him, and she loses her ksuba. The im tim salom is zugi zugi katani. Even if you want to say that, no, the braisa, at least we have to, fine, we can say maybe the tana of the braisa mixed up which chachamim on which side, but it was clear that he wanted, that he said that it was in pairs, two tanoim on one side, two on the other side. Fine, you can still explain the braisa as follows. You can say, Rav Meir and Rav Elazar would be the ones who say he nasna etzva ben shinera, which fits with Rav Meir in our Mishnah, because Rav Meir, which would fit with Rav Meir in our Mishnah, because again, in our Mishnah we said so in our Mishnah we said yotzi v'yitim k'suva, so you could say then that so one second actually, so Rav Meir is holding who knows an etzva ben shinera, but now in the Braisa. So in the Braisa, we can say that in the case of Nizirus, though, which is a different kind of neder, it's a neder of Inri Nefesh, as we're going to talk about, then Rav Meir and Rav Elazar would say, he nosna etzva ben shinera, Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosi and who nosin. And even then, Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosi are going to say, who nosin. Well, the question is, so then we would say it has nothing to do with our Mishnah. We would say Bahostama the Loik Rav Meir. Usually we say Stam Mishnah Rav Meir, but we can say Rav Yehud, Rav Meir, it's not a distinction between different Tanim and Gadim. It's Rav Meir is not the Tanakama of our Mishnah. Usually Stam Mishnah Rav Meir, but not always. This is one of those exceptions. So we can say the Tanakama of our Mishnah, whoever he is, holds who knows an explanation now. Rav Meir disagrees, and Rav Meir and Rav Elazar, who doesn't appear in our Mishnah at all, can be saying he nosna. Whereas the two Tanoim who appear by name in our Mishnah, Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosi, are going to say who knows him. And the Tanakama would be one of them, or so then not one of them, because they're mentioning the Mishnah. The Tanakama would be some other Tana who also holds who knows him.
Just get a problem with it.
So then that takes care of the problem with Zugim. That way we can say the Braisa does in fact say there are two Tanoim on each side of it, but it's a different grouping of Tanoim than he said. Okay. So the question is, so now let's examine what Rav Yosi said in the Mishnah. He's saying that in the case where he makes a neder, that she shouldn't beautify herself with some kind of cosmetic. So we're saying that if she's poor, the ned that we say yotzi v'yitim k'suva only if it was open ended, only if he said that this neder is indefinite. Alma baal motzi mefer. Now the implication is that again we're still going according to Shmuel that the case is she made the neder and we're saying that he confirmed it or he didn't do anything and it takes effect at shvia. So that implies that Rav Yosi would be saying that the husband can be made for such a neder or a minu. But the Gemara says have a contradiction. A Mishnah in Nedarim tells us. The following kinds of things are what a husband can veto, his wife's neder. Dvarim sheyesh ben inui nefesh. Nedarim that involve inui nefesh, that involve depriving herself of something. For example, in erchatz imloy erchatz, for example, she makes a neder that if I bathe, that if I bathe, then such and such should be also to me. Or she makes a, so in the case of erchatz, she says, for example, that if I bathe, then from one time, then from now on, hana of bathing should be also to me. Because you can't ask of bathing itself, because it's an intangible thing. So she says, the hana of rechitza should be also to me in the future if I bathe one time. Or, im lo yachatz means exactly that. She's making a direct shvua that I'm not gonna bathe. Im eskashit, im lo eskashit. Or if I beautify myself, or if I don't beautify myself. So those are nidra inu nefesh. Omer Rav Yosi ain able nidra inu nefesh. But Rav Yosi says that's not what nidra inu nefesh mean. And the husband can cancel nidra inu nefesh, but not something else, not nidonim, that don't involve inu nefesh. So Tosfos, by the way, points out that the Gemara mentions there in nidorim the possibility that maybe Rav Yosi would say it's not inu nefesh only if it's for a short amount of time, a day, 2 days, whatever, but not if it's a long term thing. Our Gemara seems to be implying that even if it's a long term thing, Rav Yosi is not considering nidre inu nefesh. You have sometimes, Mefoshim point out, sometimes you have what's called sugyas mishalpos. You have different sugyas that discuss the same point and take different views on it. There, the Gemara is saying that it can't possibly mean open ended. It means only when it's for a day or two. Here, our Gemara is taking the view that could maybe even mean open ended.
Anyway, they change around.
Mishalpos means they switch around, right? Okay, so the Avraham Nidra Inu Nefesh. So Rav Yosi says, what is an example of Nidra Inu Nefesh, which the husband can cancel? Shaloi Oichal Boser, if she says, I'm not going to eat meat. Shaloi Eshte Yayin, I won't drink wine. Shaloi Eskashi, the Vigdat Sivonin, or I won't wear colorful clothing. which is a gnayim, bizoyim for that, for her. Rashi says that she should have to be wearing drab clothing. In fact, she's going to be tiskana olav. She's going to be unattractive to him because of that. So anyway, the point is, Rabbi Yossi seems to be saying that saying that I'm not going to beautify myself, I'm not going to put on such and such a cosmetic, is not considered nidri in a nefesh at all. So how can the husband be made for it anyway? The answer is, hachav ma'eskinen v'dvorim shebeinu levena. The answer is, when we're talking about an on Mishnah, when she says, when there's a neder, we don't mean cosmetics or perfumes, we mean body grooming, specifically removing hair that's an oisim makim, which affects tashmish. So that kind of thing. Now the husband has two types of nedarim of his wife's that he can cancel. One is nidre inu nefesh that we were just talking about. The other is dvarim shebeinu levena, nedarim that affect their marital relationship, which we'll talk about that again in great length for nedarim ves Hashem. But in this case, this is one of those things. The difference being, by the way, inu nefesh, when he cancels the neder, it's absolute. She made a neder, let's say, that I'm not going to eat meat, and was saying that's nidre inu nefesh. Once the neder is canceled, she can eat meat when she's married, when she's divorced, when she's widowed, or whatever, it doesn't matter. But if she makes a neder of dvarim shebeinu levena and the husband cancels it, it's canceled only regarding him, not regarding anyone else. So if she made a neder, let's say, that she's not going to remove the hair, and he vetoes it, it's vetoed for as long as they're married. But if they ever get divorced or widowed, then that neder goes into effect. Anyway. That's the difference. So the Gemara is going to learn it out over there, Sukkim. So we're talking about, to all this case, we're talking about she made the neder and he's vetoing it. So we're saying if it's nidra inu nefesh, then once he vetoes it, once he's made for it, then it's gone completely. Okay. As opposed to dvarim shebeinu levena. So the Gemara says hanichal amanda amr dvarim shebeinu levena habal mefer. So that works out according to the opinion that says that the husband can cancel dvarim shebeinu levena. But according to the opinion that the husband can't cancel it. Now, it doesn't really mean, everybody agrees that the husband can cancel such an nedarim. But the question is, do we in fact consider this dvarim shebeinu levena? Which the Gemara is going to say in a minute, that there's an opinion that says that it's not. Then what are you going to say? If you say that according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not nidra inu nefesh, and it's not dvarim shebeinu levena, according to one opinion of Amiroyim, then why would Rabbi Yossi say that the husband has the right to veto it in the first place? The Itmar, as in fact we have a discussion, dvarim shebeinu levena, when it comes to these kinds of things, dvarim shebeinu levena, such as removing this hair in that area, Rav Huna omer habal mefer, so Rav Huna says the husband can veto it, Rav Adaba Abba omer habal mefer. Why not? Isn't it going to interfere with Tashmish? It's like you never find a fox that dies in the hole of its own burrow. In other words, a fox is familiar with its own burrow, and it knows to get around the various obstacles over there. So the same way, the nimshal is that when the husband is having relations with his wife, if there's hair there, he knows how to avoid it and avoid getting injured or whatever, tangled in it or whatever. So therefore, that's not considered dvarim shebeinu levena, the Rabbi Abba says. So again, we're back to the question. So how is it that Rabbi Yossi is implying that shaloi tskashit is a neder that he can cancel? Dvarim inui nefesh, Rabbi Yossi says that's not considered. Dvarim shebeinu levena, according to Rav Adar Ba'Ava, it's not considered. So how does he have the ability to be made for the neder in the first place? Ela omar Rava. Ela hocha. Thank you. Ela hocha ma'eskinen. So rather, we have to say what we're talking about. What it is she's making the neder that if I use any of this kind of cosmetic, then in the future, hana of tashmish with her husband will be also to her. To Omra, namely, she says, you're also hana tashmish halai im eskashit. If I ever use such and such a type of cosmetic, then hana of tashmish with you will be also. And such a neder is able to be affected. And that's definitely dvarim shebeinu levena, which the husband can cancel, even according to Rav Adar Ba'Ava. To the Omer of Kahana, as in fact we find what Rav Kahana says. The Omer of Kahana, hanos tashmishi olecha, if she says the hana of tashmish with me is also to you, she says to her husband, doesn't matter, koifom shamashta, you can still compel her to have tashmish with him, because she has no right to make such a neder. It's not in her reshus to make such a neder. But if she says hana tashmish cha'olai, but if he says hana of tashmish with you is also to me, yofer, such a neder, he has to cancel, otherwise it's going to go into effect. Lafisha machilas adam davar also, like, because you can't make a person eat something or enjoy something which is also to her. She's saying that this hana is also to me, so therefore that's it, and then it's going to be also to her unless her husband cancels it. Right, because the neder is on herself. Right. Okay. So the Gemara continues. So the Gemara says, Veloy to scash it, Veloy to Osir. Okay, so what's the problem? If that's how the neder was phrased, let her not use this cosmetic. She won't become Osir. What's the problem? The answer is, Imken Kardulam Novellus. In that case, then her friends are going to make fun of her that she's unkempt, that she's dirty or whatever. So therefore, necessarily, she's going to have to do it at some point. And when she does, then Hana of Tashba with her husband is going to be Osir to her, and that's going to be a problem. So the question is, still, to scash it, to Osir. Okay, so let her do that kind of beauty regime. Let her become Osir, and then fine. Why does he have to divorce her right away? Then we're back to the case on Samachala from the days where there's a neder banning Tashmish between the two of them, and Bishamai says we wait for up to 2 weeks, and Basil says we wait for up to 1 week, and if he's not the neder, then good, and if not, then Yotzi and Sova. So why over here is the Tanakhama in On Mishnah saying Yotzi V'Yitin K'suba and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi is saying that depends whether she's poor or she's rich. So the answer is Hani Mili Hechav Da Adra Ihu. That case where this Shama and the soul are talking about is where he made the neder. So then she figures, Mirtach Rotach Ilavoy. Okay, right now my husband's angry at me. That's why he made this neder. Bahashna, most of that day, eventually he'll calm down within a week or 2 weeks. He'll calm down and everything will be back to normal. Aval Hacha, but over here, Denodre'i, Vashosik La, here where she made the neder and he was quiet and he was mefer, then she figures, Sabra, Midishtik, Misnehu, Desani, that he must really hate me and therefore I want out and there's no sense in waiting any amount of time. We might as well just Yotzi V'Yitin K'suba. So that's the difference. Where it could be, if he said something, okay, sometimes a person says something in the heat of the moment, but she made the neder, and he realizes the implication that if she uses this cosmetic, she's going to become also in Tashmish to him, and he doesn't say anything, then she has every right to say, he obviously hates me, and therefore there's no sense in continuing this marriage. And because that's the thing, according to the opinions that we said before, that who knows an F's engineer, that it's his fault, because he could have been made for the nether, then therefore he still has to pay her ksuba. So here's where Tosfos points out what we were discussing before, that even if the husband was Makayim the nether, so then again, he can be matu that, but that would only work on that same day. So if he's matu nether for his kiyum on the next day, then it doesn't help, because then still, by default, the nether took effect, the shkia. So in that case, there's no sense in waiting anymore. Okay, let's see if we can go another three lines until the Mishnah. We generally try to, I know. Rabbi Yossi ever ba anius shalei nosan kitzva. Rabbi Yossi had said that there's no, that by a poor woman, only if it's open-ended, but kama kitzva. So how open-ended are we talking about? Is it forever? Rabbi Yehuda Mishmo, Yud Beis Chodesh. According to Rabbi Yossi, if she's poor, up to 12 months, then this situation can be in effect. Rabba Bachana, Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Esther Shon. And Rabba Bachana says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, 10 years. Rav Chista, Amr Abimi, Rego. And Rav Chista says in the name of Abimi, it would be one yomtiv, one of the Sholosh Rebonim, Chakain Benosis Yom, Skashkis for Rego, because Jewish women usually put on extra makeup and whatever for the yomtiv. Over Ashiros Lamed Yom, we said that she's a rich woman 30 days. Maishna Lamed Yom, why it was 30 days. Amr Abai, Chakain Isha Chashuba, Nehenes Merech, Kishutel, Lamed Yom, because an important woman, a rich woman, will have Hana from the smell of her cosmetics for 30 days. So does she last put them on the day before the neder took effect? Now, for the next 30 days, she's still covered by that. Only after that would she have to reapply them. Otherwise, yeah, so then therefore that's why Rabbi Yossi says 30 days in that case.
Just don't have the chemicals in the head that they have now.